Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes to go on this program. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and we hope you had a wonderful Easter weekend celebration at your church and with your family. And joining us now in studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey, everybody.
Glad to have Steve back. You were out with knee surgery?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Or so you said.
2 weeks ago yesterday, yes, so I said.
Yeah. He's shown me the scar.
Really did have knee surgery?
Yes.
Okay.
Either that or he beat his leg.
Mercilessly.
Mercilessly to cover up him skipping work.
Which ended up costing me vacation day, so I don't know what good that would have done.
I
had total knee replacement, and I'm on the mend. At times, it's fairly uncomfortable. I sent a note in with you. You said you read this to people. You said, what's my pain level? It's from 2 to, I said, Spinal Tap. I don't know that many people got that reference.
So Spinal Tap?
Spinal Tap.
Like the movie?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought you were talking about the pain.
Right.
Of
no. Okay. So there is the Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap is the movie.
This is Spinal Tap. And the reason that I said to Spinal, from 2 to Spinal Tap is because the Spinal Tap, one of the shticks there is that all their amps went up to 11.
Oh.
They didn't just go to 10. They went to 11.
I've never seen the movie, so I was at a disadvantage.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about from 2 to the pain of a spinal tap.
I've never had a spinal tap, so I wouldn't know, but it does feel like about an 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 sometimes. So
total knee replacement.
Yeah.
How many days ago was that?
It was a week ago Tuesday. 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You're walking around. It's a slow process. They probably tell you 6 months to a year.
It depends on what I want to do. I mean, to go sprinting, probably you're right. But if I'm still in pain and significant pain after 2 months, we're going to go back and see if they missed something, I think.
They had pieces left on
that's
the
what
table.
They told you
in a nut and bolt.
Yeah, no. Come back in a couple months, we'll see if we did a good job or not.
No,
we really
that's
don't
not
know
what they told
point.
Me they told me to expect significant pain
but you're gonna get a bill anyway.
Yes, you will. We won't
whether we did a good job or not,
that's
you're getting the bill.
We'll forget. We won't forget the bill.
So what'd they say Steve?
They said I could be in significant pain and swelling and all the kind for up to 2 months, I think, or maybe even more.
Right.
But I'm pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, because you're supposed to stay out for 3 weeks.
We're open to three. I was open to 3 weeks. I wanted to come back in 2. I happen to have some pain meds that are very effective at home, but not here.
They don't make you loopy, do they?
That's why you're take
not,
them at home.
You're not going to start talking crazy talk on the show here, right?
No, because I'm not. I have none of those particular meds on board at the moment.
Okay.
But you might not want to see me around dinner time tonight.
Boy, Steve was a lot of fun tonight at dinner, wasn't he?
Well, all right. Well, we're happy that it was a success.
Yes.
And
thank you.
I know everybody who has knee trouble, you know, and has to have a knee replacement, it's really, because my wife Allison had one a year and a half ago, it's really hard at first. And by at first, I mean for, you know, the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then 3 months, and then you progressively get better. That's the idea. And then, you know, 6 months to a year post knee surgery, then you're going to be thankful that you did it, you know, because you have a new life.
Right. I can already feel that the pain that I was having in the knee, in the joint, the, you know, where the meniscus was worn away and it was bone on bone, you can kind of tell that kind of pain is gone.
Yeah.
Now it's just pain because, well, they stabbed me in my knee about a dozen times 2 weeks ago, so... And may I, if I could, want to thank everybody out there that prayed for me, because I know that many of you did. I heard from many of you. Thank you for chiming in and giving me encouragement and everything. I so appreciate our listeners. They're just kind, kind people.
And for those of you who emailed us and said, we're glad Steve's not on the air, you know, shame on you. That was just...
You can go ahead and listen from...
That was one, uncalled for.
You go ahead and listen from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. I'm never on the air then, so...
Nobody did that, as far as I know.
No.
You have a lot of fans out there, Steve.
The words of the Welcome Back Cotter theme song, Welcome Back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. All right, joining us in studio also, besides Steve Paisley Jordahl, is our own John Riley. John Plain Shirt Riley. And he's joining us in studio. John is just got back from Israel. John's heard with J.J. Jasper in the mornings on our music side, on our morning music side here on American Family Radio. John, you're one of the longest tenured staff member here, I think. How long have you been on with us?
32, almost 33 years. Yes, sir. And I love it.
That's half my life.
There's a gold watching it for you somewhere. I know
that's right.
Wow. Would it have been 91? Somewhere in there?
That's right.
Because we started American Family Radio in 1991. Mm-hmm. So you would have come on in.
Yep.
You and your family lived in, you hail from Michigan, but you worked in Minnesota, true?
That's true. That's very true.
So you've lived in 3M states.
I did. My wife said.
But you never worked for 3M. See what I did there, Ed?
I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw it coming from pretty far down the road.
Michigan to Minnesota to Mississippi.
That's right.
And so you moved from snow blizzards to tornado warnings, right?
That's true.
Everywhere you go, you got something to deal with, huh?
Right.
All right, John, you have family in Israel. You've been to Israel many times, right?
Right. That's correct.
So this time was different, though.
Mm-hmm.
You went over during the middle of a hot war.
Right.
Right. What was your purpose in going?
You know, I first had to convince my wife to come along with me, and then when that happened, that was good. But my purpose on going this time was to do a lot of interviews with a lot of people there in Israel during this very difficult time there in the land.
So take us through your trip. You land in Tel Aviv.
That's right.
And then you do what?
Rest a little bit. Next day, I hit it hard. I went up into just above the Sea of Galilee to a small town called Katsurin. I interviewed an IDF major.
IDF being, what's that stand for?
Israeli Defense Forces. So okay. I got a sense of what's happening up in the north. And
why were they, excuse me for interrupting you here along the way, but why were they willing to talk to you? Because they don't want to give away army secrets. So why were they talking to you?
Well, I spoke to a lot of Israeli defense officials. And the reason is because there's so much misinformation out there about what's going on there in the land of Israel. So, you know, they really want to go to outlets, especially that are going to be honest about
in the U.S. in particular, right?
Yeah, because you got that right.
They want to help because the U.S. has always been supportive of Israel, but that's been challenged now.
Yeah,
by these far lefties in our country,
right?
And not just far lefties, some others who, you know, say, well, we shouldn't be involved in that. We shouldn't be supporting Israel. So these people that you talk to, defense people inside Israel, wanted to get to communicate to Americans, especially to evangelical Christians. Anyway, that's the reason they did these interviews with you.
Right.
I guess.
That's right.
So then where did you go after that?
You know, I mean, we could spend 2 hours about, you know, all the different places that I went to. But just to give you a broad perspective, I met with a lot of security people in Israel. I actually had a chance to interact with Israelis there to kind of get a sense of how they were feeling.
What do they think, generally speaking?
You know,
there's been protests the last couple of days.
Yeah. And on that note, guys, it's very interesting. As I was leaving the country on Saturday, there was a lot of major protest against the government. And of course, before the war, there was a lot of that going on, but then it's kicking up again.
Because why?
I think they want to just get Netanyahu out of there. At least that's the left side there in Israel. That was my sense, being there in Israel. And then of course, you know, you got a lot of them saying, hey, bring the hostages home, as if, you know, Netanyahu can just magically click his fingers and get all the hostages back. And I think there's like 134, but everybody I've talked
to. There's some Americans in there, too, in that hostage list.
But a lot of them are dead. I mean, that's the that I heard that over and over again, that a lot of these hostages are dead, maybe 30, 40 of them. So
because they've been there 6 months now. I mean, how many have died in the interim?
That's
the conditions that
they're
living under.
Yes, sir.
If they weren't killed already.
Yep.
And so, give us, what do you think's going to, go ahead.
I just want to ask a question because after the after we started this segment, Fred Jackson came in and handed a piece of paper to us. And this is what it says. Syria says an Israeli airstrike has destroyed Iran's consulate building in Damascus, killing or wounding all inside. Now, during the break, before we came in here, I was talking to you about this, and you said that Israel does this fairly often in Syria.
But this report that you're sharing, saying that, and which embassy was this?
This is Iran's consulate building in Damascus.
That's major. If this is
And let me before John comments on that, let me explain to people just so you have a perspective on geography. Okay, Syria. Here's the headline Ed was reading, which Fred brought into us. This is breaking news. Syria says an Israeli airstrike has destroyed Iran's consulate building in Damascus, killing and wounding all inside. So Syria borders Israel on the northwest side, northeast side, a border country. So, but Syria is basically a hotbed for Islamic terrorists, right?
That's right.
Okay. So,
100%.
So Israel has to be strong defensively on that all around them, so bordering. Probably have the friendliest relationship with Jordan. But so Iran has a diplomatic place within Damascus, a town in Syria, mentioned in the Bible, right?
Right.
Well, so this could up the ante some.
So just breaking news as well here. The Reuters news agency is reporting that Mohammad Reza Zahedi was killed in the attack. He's Iranian Guards Quds force leader in Lebanon and Syria. He was likely the target, the reason they went in and got this. So an Iranian leader was killed in this airstrike. So just update that there.
I will say this is a big deal. Now, and going back to what you were talking about, Ed, Israel, for the last many, many years, 2-3 years, maybe even more, has had the shadow war against Iran. Okay, so they are constantly having attacks in Iran on people that are associated with...
Iran?
Not Iran, I'm sorry, in Syria. Yes, constantly having attacks in Syria with people associated with Iran, whether they're Revolutionary Guards or whoever. So they do that a lot. You hear about that a lot. But a embassy or... This is the first time I've ever heard that this could be something very,
well,
very major.
This is what tells me this. Israel's in a do or die situation. That's the way they view this. Maybe you could argue they always are, every day, all day, every year. That's true. But if the saying is that if Israel makes a mistake, then they get condemned. But if Israel doesn't take a chance and defend itself, Israel doesn't exist. I didn't phrase that right, but you've heard that saying before. So Israel has to be on the defensive all the way around, and because they've got Muslim terrorists all surrounding them, so they have to be strong. Now, so we'll see what happens with this particular story. But you're right. Now Israel has fired into Syria before
many times
to take out missiles or take out,
and not just missiles, Tim. They have taken out some very high level Revolutionary Guard people as well. But sometimes that's drones, sometimes that's buildings.
But this is an embassy.
That's big.
Iranian embassy.
Huge.
So the idea, what Israel would tell you is the Iranians are working inside Damascus to try to plot their attack plans against Israel. So this is in response to that, or preemptive, I guess you could say.
And they use it to feed Syria. You're using Syria to feed weapons into Hezbollah and then some of the other areas that border Israel.
Why do you think this is, John? Why the hatred for the Jews?
Well, you know, I've asked that question over and over, and the only thing I can say is that, you know, it's a spiritual warfare. I think, I mean, that you look at the Jewish people and they stand for light and even the word of God and goodness.
But they have a democracy there too, a representative form of government. The Arabs/Muslims inside Israel get to participate in the Knesset. They get to participate in everyday life for the most part. Not the people in Gaza, but the other Palestinians who live around Israel. We have all have friends, you know, who are of that, and they. I remember a survey about 3 years ago. I mentioned this before. A survey of Arabs who live inside Israel, which is officially a Jewish state. And they were asked, do you want to live in Israel or do you want to live in a Muslim-dominated country, an Arab country? And they said, we want to live in Israel. The majority of them said, we want to live in Israel. Israel is mostly a very modern country. Obviously, it's got ancient history, unparalleled biblical history, that sites you can go to. But it's a modern country it's a Western-style living way of life for the most part. And they have elections. But they have to be totally on guard defensively because especially the enemy is in Iran. And, you know, who inexplicably hate the Jews too. I've said before, it really outside of a spiritual answer to the hatred for the Jews going back for ever. You have to say to yourself, why does Iran hate the Jews?
Iran, or they're not Arab. Iran, the people in Iran are basically Caucasian.
Well, descendants of
which is why they're set apart from all the other Arab countries around them. And your question being, why would a country that has no religious? Well, there are religious.
They're Persian, right?
Persian, right?
Yeah, they're Persian. But yes, to my point is that Iran and Israel, they have no border argument, right?
Nope.
They have no history of being at war with one another, fighting over land or territory. So you say, why does a country 1,000 miles away just obsess over Israel? And they obsess over the U.S. too. Why don't they just be happy that they're having life in Iran? And why are they always saying death to Israel? Well, because you have to say it's spiritual. They just hate the Jews because they're...
Because God loves them. Because they just God loves the Jews.
I guess they say Allah tells them to hate the Jews.
Right.
Can you explain it? To me, it's almost like I've said this before. It's like the U.S. Us being around and Argentina just hating our guts. You know why?
Right.
Just because they hate Americans. Death to America, says the Argentinians. And you go, why? We don't have a border dispute. We're not fighting over, you know, why? No, just because they're Americans, they need to die. That's basically what it's about, seems to me. Because even if you were to say it's a Muslim-Jew thing, Iranians are a different branch of Islam. They're Shia. Okay? The Palestinians are Sunni. Okay? So, even the Sunnis and Shias basically hate each other. I mean, that's why the Saudis and don't work with. That's why they hate the Iranians for the most part. They're at odds with one another. So anyway, it's bottom line. This is a biblical, spiritual hatred for the Jews that's inexplicable. Outside of that, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think it is. Clearly spiritual.
What about the Jews controlling the world argument?
What?
Well, that's what some people, Hitler and others, you know,
that's nonsense.
Jews control the banks. Jews control the media.
Yeah, that's been I think that is a demonic instigated tactic to use against the Jews, because you got to have some argument for hating them if you're in the West. Let's say you're not even the Muslims have a number of different reasons. Their own religion forbids territory that has been controlled and dedicated to Islam, that it is forbidden to leave Islam. That's why they say that land, I don't care who had it first or whatever, it was under the control of Islam. And the fact that the West was stronger than we were after World War I, World War II, to force us after World War I, the Balfour Declaration to allow Jews to go back there, and then 1948 after World War II, the United Nations establishes the nation of Israel. Muslims don't care. And it doesn't matter that the Shia and the Sunni are at odds. They all agree that land belongs to Islam. But if you're in the West, if you're in Europe and you hate the Jews, you got to have some reason. And this libel, this argument that the Jews, because many times in Europe, Europeans' history, they were prosperous. You say they control the world. They control the banks. And if you're in Germany between the two world wars and Hitler takes advantage of the fact that the economy was in shambles, who do we blame? We're going to blame the Jews.
Because they control the banks.
Because they control the banks. And Karl Marx was partly Jewish, so the Nazis hated the communists. And it was believed that communism was part of the Jewish plot.
Hey, John, I got a question for you. How's Benjamin Netanyahu doing in country?
You know, it's interesting. I talked to a lot of Israelis, and I don't think there's a lot of Israelis, at least the people that I spoke to, and I'm talking in general here, that like Netanyahu for some reason. Now, you put in one box the war, and they're supporting the war. But then on the political side, like, we don't want Netanyahu anymore. He served a long time, and we're just ready for a change. And maybe that's a left change. I don't know. But so it's a very interesting dynamic that's going on in Israel. Majority of Israel supporting, you know, the war. But then on the other side, nah, not so much. And then as I was leaving the country, this massive protest against the government, that's kind of rising up again there as it was before the war. So it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, and I made the point during the first hour, 9.5 million population, Israel, you can get thousands of people to protest, and it looks like the whole country
That's true.
Is opposed to Netanyahu and wants this war to end. And Tim's point also earlier, you got people who are concerned about those hostages. I would be if it was one of my children or one of my grandchildren being held hostage.
Well, if you're in the place of the family and you have a family who have as a hostage, and we're on 6 months now, and you're probably being told by the government day after day after day, we're doing everything we can. Well, you get frustrated and exhausted with those answers, and you don't care about the overall. You don't see it from a 30,000-foot war effort. You see it down on the ground. I want my mom back.
Right.
I want my daughter back, and I'm tired of hearing excuses. You need to do what you need to do to get them back. That's what you're thinking. You know what I'm saying? All right, John. Well,
hey,
glad you're back,
you
safe and sound. And the Bible tells us to pray.
Amen. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do it.
Amen.
Do it.
On behalf of American Family News, also thank you because you fed us a whole lot of stuff.
Thank you. Thank you,
Steve. Good to have you back.
My pleasure. Really great to be back. Thank
Maybe we'll let you talk a little more tomorrow.
I've had my say. It's all
Steve,
good.
I was going to go for a little jog around the block, Steve.
I'll watch you. I'll cheer you on.
Okay. See if we can do that, Ed. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I want to thank Fred Jackson and Brent Creeley, our producer, and thank you folks for listening to American Family Radio. Hope you have a wonderful Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.